You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Monday to you. We appreciate you being with us. Lots to get to today on our show. Arkansas-Texas football, obviously, over the weekend. There's a Razorback basketball game at Bud Walton Arena tonight. They're back on the court against Pacific. Women's basketball had a game over the weekend. NCAA soccer began over the weekend. We'll talk with Anthony Christensen about that a little bit later. But we begin with the Texas game. Not a surprising result for Arkansas. I don't know of anyone who thought Arkansas would win that game over Texas. I do think the Razorbacks kept the game closer than most people, including myself, thought they would. Ethan, it's obvious when they get together with Texas, it's a game that means something to Arkansas. It's evident in the way that they give Texas everything they have. It feels like every time they get together. I mean, you go back over the course of Arkansas, especially in the SEC years, every time they played Texas, there's only been one game that hasn't been close, or at least from an Arkansas perspective. Arkansas's blown them out a time or two, but Arkansas has only been blown out one time since they became an SEC team. I think if you're a game goer, a ticket buyer, you're usually going to get your money's worth if you're going to a Texas-Arkansas game. Razorbacks might not always win the game, but you're going to see good effort. And I thought Arkansas gave good effort on Saturday against Texas. They're just overmatched against Texas at a lot of positions. One of the big takeaways that I had from watching that game was that you're not going to see very many of these Razorbacks go onto that Texas roster and take a starting spot away from people who are on the other team. Texas is really, really good, and they showed that even on a day when they did not play their best offensively.
Yeah, I thought that it really wasn't, like you said, it wasn't a lack of effort from Arkansas. It was just they just weren't the better team. And especially whenever you have a start like Arkansas did where they just couldn't do anything offensively, a lot to overcome or a lot to ask your team to overcome against a really good Texas defense. So, second half they held serve, really made it interesting there. Whenever they pull within 13 to 10, you start wondering what could maybe happen. And then Texas did what I think a good team does. And whenever it felt like they needed a touchdown, like that possession kind of felt like a must score possession for them, I think. And they had that drive that they just moved down the field and got in the end zone. And then of course the strip fumble that they got of CJ Brown. It was their D tackle that got the strip fumble.
Alfred Collins.
Really impressive the way that I guess Texas closed the game. They closed the game like how a team that's playing to keep its playoff and SEC championship hope alive should play in the end of a game. But yeah, Arkansas at least gave them a fight.
They closed the game. They made plays at the end, and that's the difference between a team that's 9-1 and 5-5, is that Texas made plays at the end of the game. We talked about this on Friday. Arkansas's got to have a chance to keep its crowd into the game in the fourth quarter, and they did. And I'm quite frankly a little surprised they did, because I thought it would be a bigger margin that it was going to the fourth quarter. They kicked that field goal about 13 minutes left, and the crowd is into it. And then Texas, I think, had a championship-level drive where they go down the field, they get a 20-yard pass to Isaiah Bond on the first play, they get the big run by Jaden Blue where they get a little bit of a lucky bounce, and he has the ball stripped from behind by Hudson Clark, and it goes out of bounds. Texas scores four plays later. They go up by 10, and that was kind of like the first prick to the balloon. The second one was, the handful of plays later, like you said, when C.J. Brown fumbles. And then Texas gets the ball back with 6:55 left, and they just totally took the air out of the stadium. Arkansas had all three of its timeouts, still had the two-minute warning, no problem. Texas runs the ball out, or they run the clock out, the final 6:55. They had the ball for over 10 minutes in the fourth quarter, And, it was just a huge – moment for them. It was a deflating moment for Arkansas. But, they've won 10 in a row on the road. Texas has, going back to 2022, 10 in a row on the road. And some of these in really tough environments. I mean, that includes a win last year in Tuscaloosa. Say what you want to about Michigan this year, but that includes a win at the Big House this year. They've won 10 in a row on the road, and I thought that showed, just the experience that they have in tight moments, in hostile environments. That's the type of experience you cannot buy.
For sure. And this is what Steve Sarkisian said, was that, you know, these games more than any time ever boiled down to just who has the ball. It's a possessions game. And if you look at the second half, what they did, I mean, and even the first half, like, they found ways to get themselves more possessions than Arkansas. I think that they might have both finished Tech, like, both with 11 possessions.
Yeah. But 10 countable possessions. What I call a countable possession is one that doesn't end with the half.
Yeah, but what Texas did was they capitalized whenever they forced Arkansas to do to have basically a turnover, because number one, the first they scored after the interception where the ball went through Tyrone Broden's hands. They got the ball with a shorter field after the 8-yard punt by Devin Bale, which that was basically a turnover. Like, if you look, I mean, 8 yards difference, but they made Arkansas pay for the mistakes that they made and scored. And if you look at it, it's just a totally different game if they don't capitalize on those wasted possessions by Arkansas in the first half, because the way that the teams have been playing aside from that, I mean, it was kind of like a 0-0 in the first half, other than, you know, whenever Arkansas gave them perhaps a shorter field with their turnovers.
Much different feeling for Texas coach Steve Sarkisian leaving the field on Saturday than the first time that he brought a team to Fayetteville. This is what he had to say afterward.
Man, it's always great to go on the road and win in this conference, Southeastern Conference, for sure. Tough environment, hard-fought game. Just so proud of our defense. You know, I think one thing when you go on the road, it's always great when your defense travels, and ours traveled today. Fantastic game. Jade, another great performance for him. I think he had 7 tackles, a sack, 2 TFLs, an interception. Alfred Collins, another monster game with, I think, 7 tackles, a sack, TFL, and then the forced fumble there late was a huge, huge play. Baron Sorrell, great game. Colin Simmons, a couple sacks. So defensively, against a really good offense, that was a heck of a performance. I thought offensively, we actually found our rhythm a little bit better here in the second half. It was just minimal possessions. You know, I think we only had 4 possessions in the second half, the way the game went. And we had a field goal drive down there inside the 10. We had a touchdown drive. We had a punt. And then to get the ball with just under 7 minutes to go in the game and to close the game out with the ball in our possession was really good execution by the guys in the second half. So all in all, really proud of our guys. Great performance for these guys on the road. And the mission continues.
It's Steve Sarkisian after the game. You know, he mentioned what his team did offensively in the second half. And the possessions is an interesting aspect to that. You know, they had 4 possessions in the second half. First ended in a field goal. Second ended in a 3-and-out. The third ended in a touchdown. And then the fourth, they run out the final 7 minutes of the game. As well as Arkansas played defensively, and we'll get into that a little bit more, I thought the way the defense played in the fourth quarter kind of soured a strong performance from them. Otherwise, they played this game well enough to win for 3 quarters. But they never could get the offense the ball back when it mattered the most at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he said, I mean, it was a possessions game, and they just did a good job. I mean, the second half, you look at their possessions, and it's not like I think they punted once, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of that type of game where it was just a long drawn-out possessions. And then the difference to me was that Arkansas had several possessions that gave Texas great field position, and Texas capitalized. I don't think Arkansas, it's hard to come back against a team like Texas that has such a good defense after a first half like Arkansas had, where the defense played really well, but the offense just couldn't. It felt like the dam was going to break at some point with just how well the offense or the defense had been playing and the offense not cashing in.
When Texas decided that they were going to get behind those big old guys on the offensive line, that's when the game changed. You know, like late in the game, hey, we're just going to run the ball. We're just going to run the ball. And that offensive front is legit. That left tackle, Banks, I mean, he is an outstanding player. I mentioned this last week that I was interested to watch him in person, and watching him the entire day, I don't know what his PFF score was, but I can't imagine that it was bad. It didn't look like he missed an assignment the entire time that I was watching him. There was a moment in the game, remember when they threw a screen? I told, did you see that guy get out in front of him? Mm-hmm. It's the left tackle, Banks. And, I mean, he gets out in front of this running back, and, I mean, he's running with the linebackers 10, 15, 20 yards downfield, and he's as agile and as quick-footed and as strong of a tackle as I've seen this year. I was really, really impressed with him.
Yeah, and it's funny you brought up the Pro Football Focus grades, because I don't know how many times him and Landon Jackson actually got put up against each other.
There were a number of times.
It was one of Jackson's lower grades, I think.
Against a brick wall. That's why.
I think you just tipped the cap to Banks, who his grade wasn't great according to PFF. Banks wasn't, but it's probably a little bit of that. You had two great players against each other, so you don't look as good as always.
I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good. He really stood out to me. I thought Arkansas tackled well in space. In Texas, that's what they want to do. They want to get you out in space, and they want to make you miss and then get 20 yards after the catch. They want to get, yards after contact. That didn't really happen a whole lot in the game. There were some big plays, but there weren't a lot when a player, say broke a tackle at the line of scrimmage and then went for 15, 20, whatever yards down the field. So I thought it was probably as good of a tackling game as Arkansas's had since probably the Tennessee game, to be honest with you, when they beat Tennessee here back in October. They made some changes in the secondary, started three or four new players at defensive back. That seemed to work. I said this last week. I said I think it's concerning when you're having open tryouts again at any position this late in the year. It seemed to work, though. I mean, they had their defensive backs played a pretty good game against Texas. You got to give them some kudos.
Yeah, I thought the linebackers, too. I thought the linebackers and then the safeties played probably their best game yet in SEC play. Brad Spence, it felt like to me, was just everywhere. And then Steven Dix had a good game. It was the defense did answer. I kind of expected Texas to maybe feast on them a little bit, just with the injury bug that Arkansas has right now.
Well, just the way that they've been struggling to tackle. Yeah. I mean, they couldn't tackle Mississippi State worth a darn a few weeks ago.
And similar type concepts, yes. I felt like. So that was an encouraging sign for Arkansas that they showed a little bit of growth there. Now it's a matter of can they sustain it. I think that's what's, you'll see Arkansas do good in one aspect in one game, and then the next game it's like, did you just completely lose it? I looking to see if Arkansas can maybe sustain some of these good things moving forward. I'd like to see them. I know we're talking about the defense right now, but on the topic of just what's working, I'd like to see them maybe keep running the ball more. With how well it felt like they were running the ball. I'd like to see the defense come out and show the same type of passion, I guess. There's just little things I feel like you can take from games, and you just look to see if it's was just something that maybe happened in the, like, that's just a Texas game thing, or can they actually keep this going moving forward?
They just haven't had a complete game probably since Tennessee, and even Tennessee, they didn't score a lot, but Tennessee's got a great defense. I thought that was probably their most complete game they played this year. They haven't played a complete game since that point. This is what Sam Pittman had to say after the game on Saturday.
Obviously, congratulations to Texas. They were as big and physical as we thought they would be. Defensively, their stats show. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about the ones before today, that they're really, really a good defense, and they proved that today. Obviously, we lost turnover battle 2-0 and end up losing by 10. So that had something to do with it. But I was proud of the improvement that we made defensively. And we've got work to do offensively, but it certainly wasn't an effort problem. I thought we went out there and played extremely hard to beat the third-ranked team in the country. You certainly can't turn the ball over, or you've got to get them. And it was 2-0.
So that was Sam Pittman after the game on Saturday. One of the big takeaways that I had from this game, Ethan, was that Arkansas just is not playing well enough out of the gate offensively. Take away the Mississippi State game, because that defense is terrible, historically bad. Mississippi State is defensively this year. Since that Tennessee game, and then you had a bye week after that, since that bye week, outside of Mississippi State, Arkansas in the first half, 7 points against LSU, 10 points against Ole Miss, shut out by Texas. All of those games at home. All of those games at home. So 17 points in six quarters of the first half at home since that Tennessee game. This was a team that was doing early damage in the games before the bye. They got up to a great start against Oklahoma State. UAB, not so much, but they rebounded, and they had an okay halftime score. Got off to a pretty good start against A&M. Got off to a good start against Auburn. Got off to a good start against Tennessee. Remember, they had like a 10-minute drive to open that Tennessee game. It only ended in a field goal, but it was a good start for them offensively. They're not getting that right now. And to me, this is a team that does not look real comfortable playing from very far behind. They've got to have better offensive starts. Now, I would suspect they get one this week when Louisiana Tech comes to town. But, you know, when they play Missouri, when they play Missouri in a little over a week, when they play Missouri in a little bit over a week, they got to have a better start offensively.
For sure. It's the way that these possessions are happening offensively, too. I keep on looking at these first halves where they don't score much, and it just feels like the general theme is either turnover or moving backwards instead of forward. Like, they will get a drive going and then big holding call or 10 to 15 yard sack. On Saturday, it was Arkansas had the ball first and 10 at the Texas 38, and then it was 12 yard sack, maybe like a 10 yard sack,
yep,
and then an 8 yard punt. And so you went from first and 10 at the Texas 38, kind of knocking on the door of scoring and taking a little bit of momentum, to all of a sudden Texas has the ball in Arkansas territory to start a possession. It's just and that's why I say the punt was like a turnover. But that's the theme that I see, is they're moving backward instead of forward whenever they have a chance to do something. It just seems like a general theme. And there really wasn't many penalties on Saturday. That's been a case more like, I think, of the LSU game, that penalties moved them backward a ton. Of course, the Ole Miss game, it was sacks too. So it just seems like they've got to find a way. And this is what I think might be frustrating people, is it feels like the way to combat moving backward like that with these sacks is to just keep handing the ball off a little bit more. And maybe just try and, you know, you saw that the possession that Arkansas scored its touchdown on, they really ran the ball effectively. It wasn't just huge gainers. I think Jaquinnon Jackson might have busted like a 10-yard gain or something in the middle of it, but it was just like 3 yards, 4 yards, 6 yards. Taylen Green was running a little bit on it. So that's the biggest difference I saw from the first half Saturday to the second half, was just they weren't moving backward as much.
You know, whether it's because of the quarterback or whether it's because of the offensive line or maybe the receivers not getting enough separation, but what's become obvious here is that Arkansas cannot pass the ball against elite defensive fronts. 14 sacks in the last two games against Ole Miss and Texas. A lot of focus on Taylen Green after the game. He completed 17 of 25 passes. That interception that he threw was obviously tipped by Broden. That's been kind of a year-long problem with Broden, lots of drops. So his passing numbers were okay, but Arkansas is not going to be a team that's going to beat very many teams passing the ball. They're just not. And you mentioned that sequence there where there's a 12-yard sack, and then there's a 10-yard sack and an 8-yard shank punt. That led to a Texas field goal. Green he compounds the problem when he runs around. He'll turn he will turn second and 15 into second and 22 in a heartbeat. And Sam Pittman was asked about that after the game, just about not just being sacked, but the sacks that are giving up so much yardage. And this is what he had to say.
No, we're trying to get rid of that, you know. A couple times a day, he turned the wrong way. You know what I mean? He went to escape the pocket and ran into the low one, not the high one. You know, the high one, you can go the other way. But, no, we'll continue to work with him. And we've got to protect him better as well. And like I said before, get open on the routes and all that. But no, we don't want that. And Lord knows, if he's on the headset, you'd understand that we don't want it, you know, with Bobby. So we'll get it fixed. We got to get it fixed, and we're working on it. And he is too, more importantly.
So, you know, I agree with you. Arkansas should have run the ball more. I thought that they turned to Jaquinnon Jackson too late. What, did he have 4 carries in the first half, 3 carries, something like that? It was a low number. I thought he played well. He just didn't get to touch the ball as much as he probably would have wanted to. I've said a lot this year, this offense is at the best when you've got Jackson and Green kind of working off of each other, when a defense has to commit to one because both of them can make you pay with their legs. And they just – on that touchdown drive, that's what you saw. You saw them get that zone read going. They got some tempo going, and it started to open everything up. There was a 25-yard pass to Andrew Armstrong on that possession. It opens up the passing game, too. It just hasn't happened enough this year. So Arkansas ends the season 1-3 in SEC home games. Texas, the last home conference game, they lost to Ole Miss, lost to LSU, obviously beat Tennessee. Arkansas's got a 5-year SEC record of 7-12 at home under Sam Pittman. 7-12. Pittman is
7-12 in 5 years at home.
In 5 years at
home.
Well,
the past 2 years is 1-8.
1-6.
1-6.
1-6. Yeah.
Oh, I'm
1-3 this year. 0-3 last year.
Oh, I always get thrown off by the A&M game. The A&M game distorts the numbers. So
7-12 in 5 years at home, and then, you know, I mean, I'm like a broken record. You can't win unless you can win at home, and they got to figure out how to get that fixed. You know, it was bad before he got here. The home record was. You got to win your home games. You got to win your home games. They got a chance for bowl eligibility again this week. They've lost their last two when they've had a chance to get bowl eligible, albeit against really good teams. Louisiana Tech comes to town. Tech is 4-6 overall. They beat Western Kentucky, Pittsburgh Steelers style, the other day. 4 field goals and beat them 12-7.
If you look at
Western Kentucky, that was their first loss in conference this year.
If you look at Louisiana Tech's schedule, this is why I said off to a fast start offensively against La Tech. If you look at their schedule, a lot of these games take the same little 9-3, 12-7, 17-10. Arkansas's got to be good offensively on Saturday. But you know, Louisiana Tech is 4-6, but it's a little deceiving. They've lost three games in overtime, including one in double overtime, 9-3, 17-10. Their biggest loss was 30-20 to NC State. So this is a team that, it feels to me, it's the Conference USA version of last year Arkansas. They just lose a bunch of close games. Maybe they'll have a similar Arkansas last year thing where they just get beat by 30 plus in their final two games.
I don't see anybody on their schedule that's as athletic as Arkansas is. I think that's the big difference. The Razorbacks are opening this game as a 23-point favorite. And I'll say this real quick, too. It kind of feels like the FIU game last season in that if Arkansas wins, I don't think you're going to see any type of coaching move this season. I know there's a lot of people who are wondering about Sam Pittman's future. I just don't think it happens. I don't think Arkansas makes a move as long as they get to a bowl game. And they play Louisiana Tech with a chance to do that this weekend in Fayetteville. It's going to be a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's only going to be streamed on SEC Network Plus and ESPN Plus. When we come back, Anthony Christensen will be in studio with me. We'll talk about this Razorback basketball game against Pacific tonight at Bud Walton Arena. But first, word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. We also want to tell you can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. We think it's the most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. And on the subject of subscribing, hope that you'll subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already. Apple or Spotify audio-only podcasts by searching Whole Hog Sports, or you can find our video podcast at YouTube by searching Whole Hog Sports. Hope you'll give us a review, and it will help others find our podcast as well. Anthony Christensen is here on the desk with me now. Razorback basketball returns to the court tonight against Pacific. It'll be a 7 o'clock tip-off on SEC Network Plus. Razorbacks obviously got a win last week, Pacific, they've got, I mean, they, what are they, 3-2?
3-2, yes.
But two of their games have
been
against
non-D1
teams. So
but
this is a team.
The one win, an impressive neutral site against San Jose State.
This is a team who you have said for a while was one of the absolute worst teams in the country last year.
They were. Last year they finished 300.
First-year coach.
Yes.
What do you expect tonight?
I would expect Pacific to come out in a lot of zone. I watched them a bit against Northern Arizona, a little bit of their game against Hawaii as well. They like to play a zone defense, and obviously Arkansas struggled against his own defense as well. Last season, obviously, they made the coaching change. They were, I think, 358th on KenPom out of the 362 Division I men's basketball teams. And they brought in Dave Smart, who was pun intended, smart hire. he spent some time as an assistant at Texas Tech under Grant McCaslin there, who is a very good coach, very good up-and-coming coach. And before he was an assistant at Texas Tech, he was a head coach for 19 years in Canadian college basketball, which is kind of one of my favorite little fun facts. But yeah, first-year head coach already has them up almost 100 spots in KenPom from where they finished last year. Had a lot of success as a Canadian college basketball coach. I believe he was at, let me just double check just to make sure. He was there at Carleton. I almost said Calumet, but Calumet is a small school somewhere in the U.S. I don't remember where, but 19 years at Carleton, had a lot of success as a Canadian college basketball coach. And one of the things, like I mentioned, I expect them to play a lot of zone. They can be a stingy defensive team. I watched some of their game against Northern Arizona. They held Northern Arizona without a point or a field goal, I don't remember which, for over 7 minutes, which obviously Northern Arizona isn't Arkansas, and you shouldn't. It's not a one-to-one comparison. But they can play defense, which should be interesting to see. But you would expect Arkansas to have a pretty comfortable win tonight.
Arkansas is a 21.5-point favorite as of the time that we record this. May move a little bit more, but obviously the Razorbacks favored to win this one by a lot. You talked about zone. We expect to maybe see some zone from Arkansas tonight. Don't know what Trevin Brazil's status is. He turned his ankle last week in that game. Obviously Jonas Adu is, it seems like it's a very slow recovery and healing process from whatever he had done. And so Arkansas's numbers may be kind of low, and Calipari said the other night after the game that they're looking at going zone.
Yeah, and you know, especially you know against a team like Pacific, who you should be able to beat pretty handily. You can implement those kind of things. You can work on that. You can see how it works and see where you know you need to improve in those areas. So I would expect that. It's not to say that Pacific doesn't have, you know, threats. Obviously, Elias Ralph, he's a transfer from a Canadian college. He's their leading scorer, averages about 19 points a game right now, I believe. So, I mean, he can fill it up. He'll be a threat from the perimeter. He can go inside, too. So that's going to be somebody to watch. But you would expect, you know, that zone Arkansas, if, you know, they do end up doing it and it's effective, to you should be able to hold out Pacific.
It'll be interesting to see how well Arkansas plays in this game because they've had a few days now to practice, and I don't think they're full strength practicing. I think that limits some stuff that you can do whenever you have, you know, GAs getting in there in 5-on-5 work. But what they have been able to do is that they took Thursday off, and then they practiced Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You don't get a whole lot of these types of, you know, prolonged practice periods in season like this, and so it'll be interesting to see how much they're able to, number one, how much were they able to accomplish in practice. We know they're going to try to put in a zone defense. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably still trying to work and tweak their zone offense too. How much of that and how effective is all of that in an actual game situation?
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Just because, I mean, we know that they've struggled against a zone defense, and whether or not they can really implement a strong zone defense, that'll be another interesting thing to see. And obviously having that time in practice to implement that, you know, even if it is against GAs and everything, or against some of the reserves who don't get the playing time that the regular eight, nine rotation guys get. It'll be interesting. Obviously that time, you know, is good, especially at this point of the season where they're starting to, you know, have those games, see where they're, you know, not performing to their highest capabilities or anything like that. Having that at this point of the season is good, especially when you're going to be able to implement more of those things against an opponent you know, it should beat. It's a good time to have that.
I have a question.
Yeah. Yes.
Where is Pacific?
Stockton, California.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
All I know about Pacific is they beat Arkansas in baseball 1 year. Arkansas was number one in baseball, and they beat them on the backfields in Surprise, Arizona. I was there. There weren't a whole lot of people there, maybe about 200 people total, but they played on the backfields at the Rangers and Royals spring training site. And Pacific beat them, walked them off. I think they scored 3 runs in the 9th inning. That's my only experience with Pacific before
tonight.
For
the Tigers.
7 o'clock tip-off on SEC Network Plus. Brett Dolan and Joe Klein will be on the call for that game tonight over at Bud Walton Arena.
Now, one thing you might remember about Pacific is last year in the West Coast Conference tournament, I believe they scored like 9 points in the first half.
Yeah, I don't remember that. Pepperdine. I don't remember that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was 9
you
points.
You said you might remember. I don't remember.
Yeah. No. It was crazy. Like, I was watching the game just because, obviously, I'm odd. Yeah,
nothing else to do, right?
Exactly. Pepperdine beat them 102-43 after Pacific scored 9 points in the first half. Obviously, a different Pacific team this year compared to last year, but still.
So some big news for Razorback basketball over the weekend when Isaiah Seely committed to Arkansas. He is a 6'7", 194-pound forward, a 4-star prospect from up the road at Springdale High School. And so he gives them 3 members now to their 2025 signing class to go along with Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas. I know you spent some time looking into his game. Tell people about what the Razorbacks are getting here.
Yeah, so I talked to Zach Arnes, who's the radio guy who covers all their games and everything. And he had all good things to say about Isaiah, which I guess you'd come to expect. But I mean, he's a high level passer. He said, if you're open, he's going to find you. And he said, I mean, really, if he wanted to average 40 a night for Springdale, he could, but he really tries to get his teammates involved, and kind of spread that around. Cause obviously he's going to be the guy who's, attracting a lot of the defensive attention, right? So he's going to be able to find those guys, really good off ball defender, who can kind of come off the weak side, get steals, blocks, and do stuff like that. More than anything, you probably want to add first. I mean, obviously, he needs to add some. Any freshman is going to need to add some muscle and size to them. When they're going to the Division I, the SEC level of basketball. But also in that line, you're going to want to see him maybe add a more consistent perimeter shot. But other than that, I mean, he's a very gifted athlete, smart basketball player, can find people with a. With a pass, just kind of maybe even a pass you just don't see if you're just watching the game. But he's gifted athlete, good player, can find people with the pass and everything along those lines. Really good driving to the basket. He's been Springdale's go-to guy since he was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the brief overview of Isaiah Seely.
I did see where John Calipari was at his game the night that he made it official. Also, J.J. Andrews playing in that game. That's Sean Andrews' son, who's a 5-star down at Little Rock Christian. So lots of talent in the state of Arkansas. Something about basketball. It seems like every class or maybe every other class, there's a cycle of really good players or at least players who can contribute, who come through Arkansas. While we got Anthony here real quick, Arkansas soccer started the NCAA tournament 4-0 winners over Oklahoma State on Friday night, and it was just bang, bang, bang right out of the chute, and they never really gave Oklahoma State any chance.
Yeah, no, and there was that first half, I mean, they just kind of got anything they wanted going forward. Oklahoma State, the first couple of minutes, had a good – little run of play, some good combination play. They got a couple of good chances that Keegan Smith saved very well. But especially after, I believe, Kate Doyle scored the first goal, really nice footwork, get around a couple of defenders and have a nice, tidy little finish into the bottom corner. It was just kind of all Arkansas from there. And that's kind of what you want to see, especially against a power conference opponent in the first round, getting your attack going. in that way. I mean, just kind of scoring at will, especially, you know, they looked really dangerous on corners, which has been a big emphasis point for them throughout the season. And yeah, they've got a good Cal team coming up. Cal beat Pepperdine in extra time on Saturday.
Yeah, Pepperdine was a seeded team.
Yes. So that'll be an interesting game. And then the other game at Razorback Field will be UConn against Stanford.
Yeah, so the NCAA, they tried to save money in the first round, and they sent Arkansas a team that they shouldn't have been playing in the first round. And now they're going to have to fly everybody in from 2,000 miles away for the regional.
Yes, yeah.
For the second weekend.
You get teams from Berkeley, California, Storrs, Connecticut, and then obviously Palo Alto, California, or Stanford, California. I know it's kind of a weird topic.
I think they've renamed the campus is actually the city of Stanford now. I believe that's how that works. It would not surprise me with Stanford and Cal coming here that the NCAA puts them on the same plane. I actually believe that'll happen.
That'd be kind
of
funny.
It happens in track.
Yeah.
I've talked to the track coaches before about, you know, they'll be going to NCAA outdoor championships in Eugene, and a plane will leave Gainesville, and it'll fly to Baton Rouge to pick up LSU's team, and then it'll fly to Fayetteville to pick up Arkansas's team, and then all these teams are going to be competing against each other, going to be flying out together to Eugene. That kind of stuff happens when the NCAA is paying the bills.
That's how you make friends.
Or right. Could there be another Auburn basketball situation on the plane and they have to turn around and land?
Well, I hope not, but you know, you can make friends, have some fun.
UConn, by the way, they beat Rutgers, which was a team that knocked Arkansas out in the Elite Eight a few years back, and so Rutgers was another seeded team. It sets up well here for Arkansas that, you know, they could, I mean, they may have to play Stanford, who's a great soccer program. But this sets up well for them. I think they've got to like how this could potentially set up for them this weekend.
Yeah,
you've got to win your games.
Yeah, no, it'll obviously be tough. I mean, these teams are in the second round of the NCAA tournament for a reason. They're all very good teams. I mean, UConn won the Big East. You know, obviously, and that kind of prevented Xavier from getting in, which was a big controversial point of the tournament. But yeah, I mean, four good teams are going to be in Fayetteville this weekend, which will be withered down to two, and then obviously one. But it'll be interesting. I mean, you've got your different styles of play: Big East versus, I guess ACC. Which is still weird to say about
the
Stanford
All-Coast Conference.
And, yeah, Stanford and Cal. But it'll be a fun weekend of soccer. That's for sure.
Do we have a game time Friday yet?
We do not. At least last I checked, which was this morning.
The expectation is that this other game, UConn and Stanford, would be the early game Friday, probably somewhere late afternoon, and then Arkansas would play Cal Friday night. Similar time to when they played Oklahoma State. Don't know that, but that would be the expectation.
That would be my expectation, which will set up an interesting night for me. So I'll be at soccer game and then jettison over to the basketball game.
Regardless of what happens on Friday, you've got a game here Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, so the Razorback Field's going to host these games all weekend, even if Arkansas gets knocked out. We saw it happen last year. They got knocked out in the second round by Pittsburgh, and the show went on over at their field. There just wasn't hardly anyone there for that one. Big crowd against Oklahoma State, right? And
yes.
I would suspect there will probably be one again Friday night.
You would expect
basketball,
so, yeah.
You're right. It's at the same time as the UALR basketball game.
Perceived same time.
Potentially.
Yeah. I would expect that to be like a 6:30 kickoff, and then obviously the men's basketball game going on at 8.
And you got a high school for me, and you got a high school playoff game going across the street at Harmon Field at Fayetteville High School. So everybody, we get this a few times a year. It gets really tight in that little area of Fayetteville.
Traffic on MLK.
Yeah, it can be fun. All right, so Arkansas tonight, basketball over at Bud Walton Arena. Obviously, soccer this weekend. You can read all about that at wholehogsports.com. I want to tell you real quick about the Hogs Illustrated digital app. You can stay on top of all Razorback sports with a subscription. Get the most complete Razorback coverage. It'll give you 20-plus issues to our Hogs Illustrated magazine, plus a complete access to all of our content at wholehogsports.com. Monthly subscriptions begin at $17. You can join now at hogsillustrated.com/subscribe or call 479-684-5509. For a subscription to Hogs Illustrated. Anthony, appreciate you being here. When we come back, Ethan Westerman's going to be with me, and we will talk about the weekend that it was in SEC football. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again?
Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They have been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. We also want to tell you that Kyle May is coming to the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. That's going to be Thursday, November 21st at noon, Home 2 Suites in Springdale. You can reserve your seat now at OzarksTix.com, OzarksTix.com. Kyle May, the executive director of the Arkansas Edge NIL Collective, will be at our Hogs Illustrated Sports Club on Thursday. This would be very interesting having a conversation with him and everything that's going on in NIL. Big weekend in the SEC. Georgia beats Tennessee. And now Georgia has, they're back in the playoff picture. Not that they're ever really gone, but now I think they've certainly moved back into to probably going to be in that provisional bracket that we see when the new playoff rankings are released tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'd guess so. I mean, whenever your two losses are Alabama and Ole Miss, that's a pretty good. We're right now balancing a lot of two loss resumes, and those are sometimes you look at quality of loss rather than quality of win. And I mean, they do have a really good win over Texas, but the quality of loss is what stands out to me is that they haven't lost to a bad team yet, or at least a mediocre team.
They looked good again. They didn't start well against Tennessee, but you know, Georgia's this type of team. And when you look at possessions as much as I do, they're always a team that it seems like they got a lower number of possessions. You know, they're only going to have 9, maybe 10 a game, but they're going to do a lot with those 9 or 10 possessions. And that's what they did against Tennessee. 9 possessions, 31 points. They played really well defensively, held Tennessee's offense down, which isn't that big of a surprise. Nico Uiamaliava and that offense has not been real good in the last few weeks. This looked like vintage Georgia. It's kind of what I thought you'd see from them, being at home, having their backs against the wall. And there's just something about certain matchups, you know, two teams, that there are mental hurdles to get over. You know, like Arkansas's got a mental hurdle, I feel like, with Alabama. They've had some chances to beat Alabama, just haven't done it in like 17 years. Georgia's got that going on with Tennessee now. 8 consecutive losses in that series, and Georgia has won the games by an average of 25 points. There hadn't been a game closer than 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, and it was really impressive, I think, what they did in the second half. It's just like you said, it was just how they controlled the game. You never they did the thing where sometimes there will be a close game, but you feel like because of the way that one team's just kind of controlling it, that controlling the ball, you feel like it's a lot more. And that's how it felt like to me. Like, that's honestly how Arkansas-Texas felt once Arkansas got down 20-10 on Saturday. I was like, this 10 points feels like a whole lot more just with the way that this game's been going. So, impressive win for Georgia.
So now you've got, 4 2-loss SEC teams. You got 2 SEC teams with 1 loss. You got Texas and Texas A&M. Obviously, if they don't lose before then, they're going to cancel each other out. Or somebody's going to get their second loss when they play next week down in College Station.
A&M's a 2-loss.
Don't they have 1 SEC loss?
Well, you're just talking about SEC.
I'm talking about in the SEC.
I thought we were talking about for the playoff picture.
Yeah, so A&M's got 1 SEC. I'm talking about for the SEC championship game picture.
Yeah.
So you've got A&M with 1 SEC loss. You've got Texas with 1 SEC loss. And then you've got Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss all with 2 SEC losses. Missouri and LSU entered the day Saturday with 2 SEC losses. They both lost again. And so now it's these 6 teams. 2 of those 6 teams are going to play each other in the SEC championship game. For A&M and Texas, it's simple. You win out, you're going to Atlanta. For the rest, it's going to get into some really complicated tiebreakers. I took some time taking a look at the tiebreakers the other day. It very well could come down to high school football style. How much have you beaten all of the teams by margin of victory? You know, and I don't think that they've got this in the SEC from what I can tell through their tiebreakers. In high school, they only, you know, they cap it at 13 points. You can't have more than, you know, you might beat a team by 40, but you only get to have 13 points toward your margin. I don't think that's the case. And so it makes you wonder that if you know, any of these teams get a chance to really run up the score on somebody in the next week or two, they're probably going to take it.
I don't even – I need to study the tiebreakers better, but maybe that's why Lane Kiffin – I don't know if beating Arkansas like a drum.
I think it played a factor.
Yeah, because, I mean, oh, my goodness, they kept on taking vertical shots. Yep. you know, if they get into a tiebreaker with Tennessee and it comes down to who did what against Arkansas, yep. I don't know. But yeah, it's – that's interesting. There's so many scenarios that could play out right now. That's why I'm – it's literally going to come down to the final weekend and trying to – I think you're going to have to game by game be like, all right, this team is eliminated, or they just hurt their tiebreaker odds with how they won. It's going to be very interesting. Like you said, the only thing that's really there is Texas or A&M who's going to win out.
I think if Texas plays a team with a really strong defensive front, they're going to have trouble winning down the stretch.
I think Ole Miss. I think
A&M could give them some problems with the way that A&M can play defense.
Yeah, I would take that's going to be an – that's going to be maybe the game of the year. I mean, just already with what all's playing out for, like, the SEC championship.
And, oh, by the way, they hate each other's guts.
Yeah, they hate each other's guts.
Their fight songs are about how much they hate each other.
And it's just a good matchup, too. So
and they haven't played in 13 years.
Yeah, I think that's the game of the season, in my opinion, the regular season of college football.
That's kind of like the standard for a great rivalry is – is your fight song about how much you hate the other team? Because if it is, then it's a great rivalry.
Yeah.
And it just kind of, you know, you got to trickle down from there.
Yeah. It's...
Is that game going to be on Thanksgiving Day like
no,
it used to be?
I think it's on Saturday.
Oh, but
it'll
be
on
Saturday. Do you know if they're going to get back to doing it on Thanksgiving Day? Because I used to really look forward to Texas and A&M on Thanksgiving
Day. That's a great question. I don't know if they will or not.
Yeah, this year it's on Saturday either it's either in the afternoon slot, the 3:30 to 4:30, or at night.
They're putting that thing at night.
And, yeah, it's... So, I would guess is going to be the 7 p.m. Central start.
So I remember when A&M first joined the SEC and they were going to make LSU their end of the season rival,
mm-hmm.
A&M wanted to play it on Thanksgiving Day like they usually did, and LSU mm-hmm. just said, no, we're not doing that. So they didn't.
Yeah.
The Thanksgiving and Black Friday games are not appealing TV slots.
Yeah.
You're doing that to throw the TV networks a bone to play games on those days. You know, you're going to get a lot of eyeballs on you if you play on those days. Maybe, you know, the college game, they've got to compete against the NFL. I mean, the NFL's playing all day on Thanksgiving now, and now the NFL's got a game on Black Friday, too. It's not the appealing time TV designation that I think some people think it is.
Yeah.
I just want it for selfish reasons. I just want to be eating some turkey and mashed potatoes and watch Texas and A&M.
I love the Egg Bowl on...
Oh, definitely.
Too. That's also
and that's back on Thanksgiving. That's on Black Friday.
That's
this
on
year.
Black Friday. Yeah, it's. I like to see these us get back to our traditional. I liked how whenever I grew up, the matchups that happened on Thanksgiving weekend. It hit me last week whenever OU and Mizzou played. They need to switch. I know LSU doesn't. Arkansas is not as big of a rival for LSU.
I know where you're going with this.
But they need to OU Mizzou on the final week, and they need Arkansas-LSU.
You know how you do that? Well, how about we have OU-OSU on the final weekend, play Bedlam on the last weekend when it should be. But you know how you fix this? You go to a 9-game SEC schedule. You go to a 9-game SEC schedule, and you preserve these rivalries. If they stay at an 8-game SEC schedule, you're not going to get Texas A&M every year because Texas is going to be matched permanently with Oklahoma. A&M is going to be matched permanently with LSU. That's how you fix that. So, but that's another story for another day.
I just think so long as the conference gets the results it wants in the college football playoff, it will not change.
I think it will. I think the TV networks are going to force them to change it.
We'll see.
I mean, because seriously, who'd Alabama play the other day? Mercer? South Carolina plays Wofford this week? Georgia plays UMass? TV networks don't want that. They want appealing, they want games that have wide-ranging appeal. And they're not getting that with the way that the teams are scheduling right now. They're just not. And they want rivalry games. They want you to be able to turn on your TV and, you know, at the end of the year and be able to watch your Texas A&M game. And as things are set right now, you cannot do that. They want Arkansas-Texas every year. Arkansas-Texas isn't going to play every year if it stays at an 8 SEC game. These are the type of games they want. And I think TV, look, TV always wins. TV always wins. You know, they say kickoff, and you say, what time? You want us kicking off at 9:15? We'll do that. You want us kicking off at 9:15 a.m.? We'll probably do that too. That's TV always wins these discussions over time. They may not win it right away, but long-term, TV's going to win, and you're going to go to a nine-game SEC schedule. It is inevitable.
So long as we preserve Tennessee-Vanderbilt, all will be right in the world.
Well, that's staying even if there's an eight-game schedule, I think.
Man, I would love a 9:15 kickoff. I hate waking up super early on a Saturday, and you got to wait all the way until 11 a.m. Yeah, give me that 9:15
slot. I was thinking of this. The people who...
It may be coming, Blake.
The people on the West Coast, I mean, I would be waking up with a game with games already in the first quarter, not in the fourth quarter, if I lived on the West Coast. Because Arkansas,
a lot of people do that.
Yeah, Arkansas, Texas kicked off at like 9 Pacific.
I mean, a lot of people do that, with NFL games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Rams might be sent to Carolina, and they're going to play a noon central game, so one in Charlotte. But it's 10 a.m. back in Los Angeles, so that happens.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff happens for sure.
Anyway, we chase rabbits a lot, but how did we get to this one?
Well, we were talking about the SEC last week, and I was going to mention that South Carolina beat Missouri. What a great game that was. Did you watch the end of that?
That was phenomenal.
Rocket Sanders had the touchdown. I mean, you ever watched Kyle Brandt's Angry Runs segment on NFL Network? That should be an angry run, the touchdown that he had to win that game for South Carolina.
I said this on Friday.
And then he
tagged
his coach once he got to the sideline. That was pretty – did you see this, Blake?
It was weird.
I was actually at a wedding in Columbia, Missouri, and everybody had the game on their phones, but I wasn't able to watch it.
Yeah.
So did Missouri take the lead?
Yeah, it was kind of your typical Missouri game where they come down and they take the lead in about the last minute or two. But this time, you know, like they didn't leave Auburn. Well, I guess they left Auburn and Oklahoma enough time to maybe go back. But this time they left South Carolina too much time. And South Carolina was able to go back down and score with, I don't know, about 20 seconds left in the game.
And I said it Friday on the show. Rocket Sanders looks way better. I mean, his performance is showing it, but I just think physically he looks like back to how he should have, if not better, while he was at Arkansas. He ran angry on that final
And that
run.
Quarterback, Lenoris Sellers, is really getting better for South Carolina. Yeah. He threw for 5 touchdowns in that game.
They're a November team, let me tell you.
I remember the groom had the game on his phone at one point, but it was 21-6 South Carolina. So I was like, oh, well, that was probably over. And then I checked the final score, and it was 34-30.
Yeah, South Carolina kind of took their foot off the gas in the third quarter and allowed Missouri to get back in it.
I think that South Carolina-Clemson is going to be fun final week of the year.
If you haven't seen the Rocket Sanders-Shane Beamer interaction, go look it up. It's very, very interesting. Florida beat LSU 27-16. LSU, they have gone in the toilet since they left Fayetteville.
Yeah, and I'm going to be interested this afternoon to listen to Feinbaum, my new Monday afternoon after
Don't
a football.
Doesn't he have Brian Kelly on every Monday?
He does. It's so funny because he'll have Brian Kelly on, and then fans are just calling complaining about Kelly the rest of the show. I mean, it was bad last week after they got humiliated by Alabama. This week, I mean, I think we're seeing an LSU fan base right now reach the level of, for them, Arkansas could have the same season LSU is having, and it would be better than what's happening. But for LSU, they are apathetic right now, their fan base, about this season. They're done with it. And that's, you'll pick up on it when you listen to these shows. I mean, I get it. Shows don't always project the entire fan base's feeling. But LSU 6-4 is not the standard for them through 10 games.
Would you say apathetic?
Apathetic.
I'd go to apoplectic. That's what's going on
it's
with LSU right now.
A good spelling bee word. It ever shows up. I play the New York Times spelling bee every day. So
keep that in mind for the next time. Hey, before we get out of here real quick, the Arkansas women got beat bad last night at UCLA. Not a surprise. UCLA is one of the really elite college basketball teams on the women's side right now. 101-52 at Pauley Pavilion. What'd you see?
Yeah, I saw a team that is going to be a national championship contender, and I would...
UCLA, not Arkansas.
Exactly. The second half of that sentence was, and I saw a team that was picked last in the SEC and is trying to figure out its way. they're going to get better. Arkansas will, as far as the more time they have together. I just don't know. You know, I say they're going to get better. I don't know what their ceiling is, though. Is like when they get to the point where they're playing a lot better, even their best is not going to be able to beat a lot of teams' average, I don't think. Just once you get to the upper half of the SEC, I think that they're – you look at this Arkansas team and you're kind of – you're asking where do they see themselves, like, where in the SEC hierarchy are they trying to get to at the end of this season and long? Like, do they feel like they're going to make – do they want to make a push to get to the upper half of the SEC, or are they going to be fine with being, you know, average to bottom? And this is just the year. I mean, we knew it going into the year that this was not the year that they're going to break through. It's just the roster that they have. It's just – that's not realistic. But, you know, they did play it. They played this game as an eye-opener, I think. You know, they scheduled it with a different roster in mind whenever they did schedule it. But, you know, they wanted to go into this and treat it as a this is where we're at type of game. And they know how far behind they are right now. It's UCLA, though. They're going to be – I look at their roster, and I don't – from a, just you can put their roster up to other teams, and theirs is just as good as anybody, and I'm including South Carolina. Like, they're so talented. So Arkansas played – the elite of the elite in my mind. There's about, once you get to in women's basketball, the top, I'd say like 7 or 8 teams are usually pretty much like anybody can beat anybody, just get them on the right day. But South Carolina's had some teams in recent history that they are far and away the number one team. I don't think that's the case this year. And I think Arkansas played one of the teams that has a case to be at the end of the year in the championship game.
Just 5 points off from the worst loss in program history.
Yeah.
A couple of stats that you had that I thought jumped out at me was, number one, UCLA had a girl who hit as many threes as Arkansas did as a team. But then number two, you said they had more offensive rebounds than Arkansas had total rebounds.
Yeah.
29-27.
29-27. And crazy enough, you know, not even close to being the worst rebound margin that Arkansas's had, which just – this is the thing. Arkansas plays a style where they're going to run and shoot threes, and if they're not making them, the other team's going to get transitions, and they're going to score a lot of points, and they're going to get a lot of offensive rebounds. And Arkansas, Mike Neighbor said it, he's not changing the way that they're playing in non-conference just to make the score better. He wanted them to keep working on what he thinks they need to get better at. So, you know, that led to a very ugly rebound margin. But, yeah, the thing is, this a girl for – UCLA made as many three-pointers as Arkansas did as a team in 27 fewer attempts. That's, I mean, think about how many shots that is. 27 threes and 27 less three-point attempts. She made as many threes as Arkansas as a team. And the thing is, Arkansas, it's not like they were taking bad shots. They just could not buy one. I mean, they were open on a lot of them, and they just were not going in. And I do think this is a better shooting team than they had last year, Arkansas. But it did not show on Sunday. And that's just, I mean, that's one of the crazier stats that I've seen in a while. That, a lot of teams don't shoot 27 threes in a game. And a girl made as many as Arkansas in 27 fewer attempts. That's just, anyway, that's the one that's a real revealing of if you're not making shots, something's got to change.
I think it's going to be a pretty rough year for Arkansas women's basketball after they lose to UCLA 101-52. If you want to read more about it, Ethan's story is at wholehogsports.com. We hope we see you there tonight. Obviously, we'll have plenty of coverage from the Arkansas Pacific men's basketball game. Also, after we record our podcast, Sam Pittman will have his weekly meeting with media members. Lots of new football stuff will be on our site this afternoon as well. We'll have a podcast tomorrow to talk about all of it, what Pittman had to say, the basketball game tonight over at Bud Walton, and much more. Hope we'll see you then. And until then, hope we see you at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day, everyone.